I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning. I'm very excited to not have to preach. Linda Garrison, whom we all know and love, I believe is director of facilities at Camp Quaker Height. You may correct me on that title when you come up here, as I'm sure is probably wrong. But Linda?
I adjust my job title as I need to. I am I'm flexible. I'm the boss, so I can be flexible. One of my job titles that seems to explain what I do the best is administrator. When you say director of a camp, sometimes they think that the person who is the director of the camp is the one overseeing the activities for the week, and I don't do that. So I'm the administrator of Camp Quaker Heights. I believe most of you know what I do. Chip is maybe not. What do I do? Chip's job is easier to explain. Chip is the facilities director, so the task of keeping up the property is up to Chip. And then the other half of Chip's job is not from Camp Quaker Heights, but from the yearly meeting, and he serves as the director of Young Friends. And so we say he is DYM, D-Y-M. We're going to talk this morning about an aspect of worship, but you have to know that when you talk about an aspect of worship, you are talking about an aspect of life. Life and worship are not and never have been two separate things. If you are living, you are worshiping. There is no way to escape it. John Lennon saying, imagine no religion. That you can't imagine it because it cannot be. We all possess the ability, we all have the ability to believe, and we all believe in something. And in that, we throw ourselves after it. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. I think the message says, wherever you find your treasure, that's where you're going to toss your heart. There's no way to live your life without worshiping. So we can't talk about one aspect of worship and have you think about that being one aspect of something you do when you come to church, because that's not how it is. We're going to talk today about music. Music is one of the things that can quickly divide a church. And it's not as though this is new. Music has been dividing the church since we began to gather together. I'm pretty sure that after a little while, folks started to disagree about many things. And they'll at least say that it's about music. It's not always about music. Sometimes it's something else, but they use music as a way to do that. Part of that is because music is intrinsic to our beings. As certainly as we all worship, we all know something about music. I believe that that's from very early on, from within the womb, when the baby begins to be aware of another heartbeat. I believe that that's when, because rhythm is one of the basic components of music. You have to respond to music. My own responses are perhaps stronger than those some of you have. If there's a song that's on the radio that I don't like, I cannot ignore it. I have to turn the radio off. I'm not one of those who's content to flip to another song. I just turn it off. Sometimes I just don't want to hear it. Just turn it off. If there's music playing in my house and I'm trying to go to sleep, I have to get up and turn it off. If there's music down the road, this doesn't happen where I live now, but if I can hear a bass note. I can find that bass note, and it will bother me until I turn it off. In the same way, there's usually a song in the back of my head, and it will distract me until I figure out why that song is playing in my head, and it's not coming in through my fillings. It's just somewhere. And try and discern why I'm thinking about that song. One of the sweetest stories that I've heard since moving to this area, and I heard it when I got to Chester, and the ladies there, I call them little ladies, and we say that because often when we meet someone and they're past a certain age, they've already begun to lose their height. And so they are definitely littler than they were. But those women would talk about the days of the kitchen band from New Providence. Now, have any of you heard of the kitchen band from New Providence? I figured. And the women from Chester who were in the kitchen band have passed. It doesn't mean that now I can tell the stories, but it means that there are still some women over in New Providence who could tell you the story. But they said that the reason the kitchen band disbanded, and they would be invited all over to play their pots and pans, was because suddenly later in life, several members of the kitchen band turned up pregnant. So the kitchen band disbanded so the women could move back into, they didn't have the time they had a few years ago. They had to go back to raising their babies. So the same way Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles, the kitchen band disbanded because it was romance again. I want to tell you the story today about a man named Leon Fleischer. Leon Fleischer, I believe he was born in the mid to late 20s. You all will have to be involved in today's sermon. So I'm going to start by asking the easy question. How many of you have heard of Leon Fleischer? That's what I figured. Now, you can look him up. You can find him. Most of the information I found online. But, of course, I'd heard his story first, and his story captured me. He was born, as I said, in the mid to late 1920s. And his parents did what some parents are doing and what many of your children want you to do. His parents gave him a chance to take some music lessons, and he chose to play the piano. By the mid-50s, Leon Fleischer was known as the pianistic talent of the ages. Of the ages. So this would have been before he was 30. He was renowned all over. Anywhere the word could get about musicians, the word got about him. And his was the talent of the ages. He was devoted to playing the piano and playing it well. As time passed, and not much time passed, Leon discovered that he was having some difficulty with his right hand. And first it felt as though one of his fingers had turned to stone. Leon endeavored to do what he could about this, so he practiced harder. And then another finger felt like it had turned to stone. And in a short course of time, Leon Fleischer could not play the piano with his right hand anymore. The pianistic talent of the ages could no longer play piano with both hands. This was in the early 60s. I was born in the early 60s, but I just heard of Leon Fleischer a few months ago. So it's not as though our lives intertwine, or I'm not going to, tell you stories of he and I, and how we played the piano together. But I'm not going to play for you. I'm just laughing. And I'm also Leon Fleischer is a Jew, so I'm not going to tell you that Leon Fleischer came to know the Lord either. I'm not pointing to his life to you for that reason. So about the time I was born, he could no longer play. What he did with all of his knowledge then was he became a conductor. And he said, when I became a conductor, I discovered that what I should have been loving all along was the music. And then as he was taught more and more about conducting, he said, what I discovered as I went through conducting and as I learned to be a teacher of great renown, what I discovered wasn't just the playing and wasn't just the music, but what I discovered then through teaching was the passion behind the music. He thought that he'd lost everything, and yet what he what he was given as he persevered beyond playing was even more. He went on to play, to be recorded playing many pieces written just for the left hand. And in fact, he discovered that rich European people who were interested in music but knew, you know, back in the 1800s, knew people who could only play with their left hand, had commissioned works by Ravel and Chopin. So he brought those works forward so people could learn that you can play even just with the left hand. You can play works of the masters with just one hand. He thought that he'd lost everything, but what he got back instead was more. There's a verse in John, and it's it troubles me sometimes to say something is a favorite verse because that makes it sound like one verse is better than another. But certainly, the same way you might like music that I don't like, sometimes a verse might speak to one person that doesn't speak in the same way to another. But in John 1, verse 16, the NIV says, "From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." The message says, we have received gift after gift after gift. The Amplified says, we have received one grace after another, one spiritual blessing upon another spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. In my mind, that's what we hear in the story of Leon Fleischer. In what was lost, he then had the blessings of music heaped upon him, one thing after another. Some folks, you shouldn't write on both sides of the paper, because I've lost half of it back here flipping over. In the past 30 or 35 years, in which I've been paying attention to changes in music, in music in church, because I grew up in a church where we sang three hymns. I was fortunate, extremely fortunate, in that one of the pastors of our church was a woman who'd been a music teacher. So she played very, very well, and she expected church music to be played well, and she introduced new songs all the time, the songs that were contemporary at that point. She played a lot of songs, so I'm honored that I knew her and that she came into the life of our church. But I know that one of the controversies, and it's still ongoing. You know, there's some churches, and I'm not talking about Quaker churches. There are some churches that don't have any instruments at all. There are some that only have a piano or just have an organ. Some folks don't. They would have been extremely uncomfortable, and perhaps some of you were to start with. But with drums in the church. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is because when it actually came to be that music became more and more popular, and people were listening to the radio, as music and culture began to affect one another in a way that changed rapidly. And part of that was because of technology and radios, and then people could afford to buy their own music. Certain kinds of music, certain types of music, just the way it was played, were associated with certain lifestyles. And there, you know, it seems like there's never been a lifestyle where drums have been a positive thing. A lot of people don't like drums in a church. And I've heard some people say, well, I just don't like anything with a beat. There is not a piece of music written that does not have a beat. It may or may not have a drum music written for it, but it has a beat. It all has a beat. This is where I want you to participate. And to do this, you'll need to open your Bible. If you start in Psalms, now, Alicia, this is where you're going to come up and write some things down for me. Because I said life and music and worship all go together, I want you to find a verse, and I start you in Psalms because I know you can find one there. I want you to, you can also find in parts of the New Testament when instructions are given about activities that take place in corporate worship. But if you find a verse, I want you to, in a loud enough voice that we can hear you, Alicia's going to write it down, write down the scripture for it, but I do want you to read the verse. So when you find a verse that pertains to singing in the Bible, and I know they're there, don't leave me hanging, please share it with us and share the reference as well.
49:4.
Okay, Psalm 49:4. Read that for us, Chuck. Wow. Psalm 49:4. I don't remember it. I don't remember that one. That one is
Psalm 55:8. Those living far away hear your wonders. For morning dawn the beaming face, and you call forth songs of joy.
Songs of joy.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him.
101:1, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise.
And over here, Mr. Bachman has one.
Psalm 66:1 and 2. Shout with joy to the Lord, all you earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Offer him glory and praise.
Now, when we sing, Diane?
You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12.
She has favorites too. I just thought of another one that's that a woman who from Chester, Pat Shea, said at one point in time that she wanted red at her funeral. And it's curious because it's in the Song of Solomon. It's about music. But it mentions in there, in the Song of Solomon, it mentions about turning to spring and the song of the turtles. Not the turtle doves, but the song of the turtles. We often think of singing and praising as times of joyous happiness. But many of these verses do not reflect that we will only sing when we're joyous and happy. The first one that Chuck read, that's not, perplexing riddles. Another one is Psalm 137. In Psalm 137, verse 4, the Israelites, now a remnant, are talking about their life in captivity in Babylon, and their tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill." The writer of that psalm is not talking about let my right hand forget how to write. It's saying let my right hand forget how to make music. Because the two things are connected, knowing God and finding a way to express yourself. It doesn't mean that any of us are going to play like Leon, either with the left hand or the right hand or with both, because he was, after all, the pianistic talent of the ages. But it does mean that you are built to respond to all of life with music. You're built to love that you respond that way. Along with Psalm 137, I think it's one. Oh, 126. In Psalm 126, verse 2, when the Lord brought us back to Zion, verse 2 says, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. To be here on this earth, you have to be here. The thought of Leon Fleischer first, after he moved to the part where his skill would give him a place in the world, he stumbled into a part of life where he discovered that music would give him a place in the world. And then he discovered that it was not just music, but his passion. I think that it is that passion that we and you have proven that you discover in the Bible makes it right for us as well. I think that it is that passion which sets us apart from many of the other creatures that God made. Yes, birds sing. No, you cannot keep them from it. They were created to sing. They have no choice. They have no will over themselves to stop singing. We choose. Sometimes when we choose to turn that part of our lives off, it's much like the arguments about music in church. There's something else going on. I didn't come today to ask you to sing louder. I didn't come to ask you to sing other music. There's not an agenda here where I want you to start, doing something else with music. But I want to affirm in you that this is right. This is what you're made for. What you saw of the children, they respond, and at those ages, they're still able to respond without artifice, without being caught up in what you think. This is kind of an odd thing too. None of them were showing off for you. First, they watched and they stared at Alicia's hands. And then because they wanted to participate, even the littlest ones, they watched Chip. They wanted to do what they could. They wanted to bring to worship what they could. And that is something they can bring. But there's not an age limit on it. I think that I want to say that a lot of this leads into this afternoon. This isn't just to coax you to come this afternoon, but maybe, it makes more sense to me because I know what's to come later. What you offer throughout the day, as your heart beats, you offer that to God. Sometimes you'll be able to put that offering into words, and sometimes you'll be able to let that offering be set to music. It might be somebody else's words set to music, and it might be some other music. I believe that all there's no tone, there is no chord that can be played that wasn't played first in nature. So there's nothing that can be played, basically, that God didn't play first. Last night, maybe it was on the radio that I heard it, and I listen to NPR, so you hear lots. You can hear about Leon Fleischer if you listen to NPR. But I think it was tugboats at Vancouver. They set them up. It was either tugboats or trains, And they played the first part of "Oh Canada" on tugboats. That was clever, and you know, the people who heard it just roared with love. We respond, but it's because we're supposed to. It's because we're built that way. I hope that if you're like me and you have to turn things off, you examine why you had to turn something off. If there are days you don't feel like singing, know that you discover those same people. But they didn't feel like singing because they were trapped and they felt as though they had no control. In the New Testament, you read, guess what? You can still sing songs of praise in a strange land. You're still called to be a joyous people. We're told to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And there's not a comma after that that says, when you feel like it. We're just told to do it. And in that obedience, often we find that our spirits are revived. I'm positive that a portion of the experience that Chandra had this weekend was because of the music. And it can be, that's why some of us fear for music. We think that people can be pulled away because that shows the power of music. That shows that we want to know what people are listening to. And it's not the beat behind it that's the problem. It might be the heart behind it that is. Now, Leon Fleischer, just a few years ago, he had tried everything, even though he discovered that his passion was not in playing. He tried everything for then most of my lifetime. He lost the one hand. And then a few years ago, he tried a technique that he'd been working on for years. It's called rolfing. It's a kind of massage, R-O-L-F-I-N-G. And he very, very early on, great progress was made. And so that was something from the 19th and 20th century, the healing power of touch. And then from the late 20th century, they tried Botox. So in 2007, he began to play again. And in fact, there's been a CD release. It's called Two Hands. And in that, what he has recorded then celebrates the fact that even though his hand was useless for playing the piano for 40 years, he was fully restored. His ability to play was fully restored. It is not wrong at all to come to a meeting or to go to one as Chandra has and have expectations that the music will lift your heart. And we should not feel as though we're fickle because that has happened, because we feel better because we hear a certain song. That's not fickle. That's actually faith. That's because that's one of the ways in which God has used nature to speak to you. The Bible says the whole earth is filled with his glory. We can find God's glory everywhere, should we choose to. That's where he planted music. That's where he made music. As you read through the creation story, every day another note was put in there so we could hear it. Alicia learned to play the guitar because she wanted more music in her life. I don't know anyone who wants less. I know people who don't want to sing in public because they themselves don't like the way their voice sounds. But I don't know anyone who doesn't like music. And I believe that's because it's a gift from God. And it's a way God continues to reach out to us. I'm hoping that this afternoon we'll resolve our technical issues and Alicia will be able to come and play for you and we'll be able to put up what the other work that she's done to go with it. Well, we kind of have to resolve our technical issues by this afternoon. But some of the words that she sang this morning go along with this and speak with this. And I want to plant these words and these promises in you because you know that there are places you can turn. You don't always want to turn to them, though. Sometimes when we're by the rivers of Babylon, we're stuck there. We're certain we're stuck there. We don't have to live there forever. There are promises that, yes, even in heaven, one of the constants will be that there will be music there. I'm not talking about angel harps and all that, but that you will fully know the gift that God has given us through music. You can probably, I'm sure, point back to a time in your life when you were touched one way or another by a song. And I want you to consider, if you contemplate this, and I obviously want you to contemplate this, I want you to, I don't want to use a weak word here. I don't want to say I want you to consider, because that's like I want to leave you with a choice. When you look back and recognize a powerful song, be it in church or not, please know that because that's what you're made for. You're made for music because you're made for worship. As Leon Fleischer lives more and more into what he believes he's made for, you can as well. When you recognize that it's not just when you come to church, it's not just when you have the radio on, when you chase down that song in your head or in your fillings, whichever it may be. God has a word for you, and as well, you have a word for him. As you offer that back up to him, you will be tremendously engaged. And if you let someone else hear it, they will be affected as well. So don't refuse to sing. There's a song, an Isaac Watts song, and I learned this back in church music history, and then it was repeated in a book I read recently. Isaac Watts wrote a number of songs in your hymnal, and Isaac Watts was a worshiper at the time when only psalms were sung in a church, and he wanted to be able to express the truth that he found in God. And so in the song, Come We That Love the Lord, one of the verses says, let those refuse to sing, because he knew that there were going to be people who weren't going to sing his hymn. They were just going to sing the right songs in church. And those were the old ones. He says, let those refuse to sing. What is that? That's We're Marching to Zion. But don't be somebody who refuses to sing ever, here or anywhere. Don't worry about other people hearing you. Whatever kind of music you can make, there are people without voices, and yet their heart still responds and sings to music. I think music is, because there's a lot that's physical with music, I think, you can, people say they can feel a beat or something. I do feel a beat. I am not summoned to stand on my feet. Sometimes I'll sway. I have been known to sway. And I can clap. The fellow who played, is he in here? The drum type thing, not, yeah. What was his name? Hey, have you met somebody who doesn't have rhythm? You should be glad that you have somebody up here who has rhythm. And it'd be okay if you discover somebody doesn't have rhythm and they want to play that, give them another opportunity another time, but he should keep doing that. It's marvelous to have that. If you've ever been to someplace where there's a cultural display of Africans playing drums or Japanese people playing drums, or there's a group that operates even here in Iowa, I don't know if it's around the world, where they put percussionists together and they do things to raise money for hunger causes. It's just the beat alone. I mean, it's noisy, but it's very, very inspiring. A few years ago, there were people who played trash cans. And you know, it was inspiring in that it moved me. So when you respond with passion, when you discover passion, that's what Leon Fleischer discovered finally. That's when you have to realize that this is part of God filling up your life. And your response to that then is to share it, because that's what you're made for, and the person next to you is ready to have you share it as well. I know that you've picked a song that you're going to close the service with. I think Kay's going to play it, because I'm not. So we're going to move to that now, but I'm excited to be here this morning and to be here with you in this quieter place. We'll talk some this afternoon about a lot of things that are going on at camp. But at Camp Quaker Heights, we recognize that a great deal of our support comes from this church. When we announce a work day, we know that somebody from Bangor Liberty is going to be there. And that'll be true when I say that this afternoon to the rest of the people as well. Part of it is you have this blessing upon blessing. You're close. And that's always given you kind of an edge to those churches, you know, to Salem or those churches that are so distant. It's given you an edge both to help and to get there quickly for the good times as well. And we count on you. But you have proven that we can count on you. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you.